Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's an honor to be here with you today, and I want to thank the Unity Council for having this great celebration. I also want to thank the City of Fresno for hosting also and being part of this. You know, it's kind of sad, but there are some cities, and I want to mention my own city of Bakersfield, that the City of Bakersfield does not have the Martin Luther King celebration. How about that? Okay? Not too good, is it? Okay? We got to change that. We have to change that. They do have a Martin Luther King celebration, and my daughters and my staff of my foundation are celebrating that breakfast today in Bakersfield, but the city itself has not been involved. So I think that's maybe one of the tasks that we need to do is to make sure that every single city in the Central Valley, every single city celebrates Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And I also want to share with you an idea that was so happy this morning that they did mention one other very important person in Dr. King's wife, and that was his wife, Coretta Scott King. Coretta Scott King. And I had the distinct pleasure of being with Coretta when she was campaigning along with Stevie Wonder, Harry Belafonte, and many others for this Dr. Martin Luther King's holiday. I don't know what would have happened if we did not have this holiday. So much of Dr. King's work would have just kind of, not maybe forgotten, but it wouldn't be celebrated at the national level the way it is today. So we have a lot to thank Coretta for. So always remember her when we celebrate Dr. King's birthday. And I also want to mention Yolanda King. I had the good fortune to be with Yolanda King also just a few weeks before she passed. And what she was working on issues of domestic violence and of abuse against children. So this is such a great legacy that this family has left us. And I have been fortunate also, by the way, to have been in Atlanta several times for the marches that they have had there for the Dr. King holiday. We have so much, of course, to work for. And I remember when Dr. King was assassinated. And I think we should also have another day to celebrate that day, I would call it his Saints Day. The time that, of course, they took him from us. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I remember when we were on that march in Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, there were thousands of people on that march. But what you hardly ever see in any of the photographs is as we were walking down that street in Memphis, there were National Guardsmen lining up all along the street. And they had their bayonets pointed at the people that were marching. You could have actually reached out and touched them. And then, about every other street, there was a tank. I'm talking about a tank like the kind you see in the military, and the tanks had the cannons faced at the crowd. But that crowd was peaceful, nonviolent. It was so quiet that all you could hear was the footsteps of the people as they were walking. And the reason I want to bring that out is because sometimes we forget, or it's really not mentioned enough, that when Dr. King was killed, it was because he was involved in a labor dispute. He was there for the maintenance workers, the garbage workers, the people that do the really, really heavy work in our society. And we have to remember that because we know as much as Dr. King worried about racism, segregation, Jim Crow, all of that, he was also concerned about poverty. He was concerned about the people living in poverty. And that is such a great burden for poor people to have to carry all of their lives. The labor movement was very important to Dr. King. The labor movement supported him in many, many ways. And we have to do the same thing when we talk about or think about continuing Dr. King's legacy. Let's remember our brothers and sisters that are workers, because the majority of the people in the United States are workers. We are not a special interest, right? We are workers. And remember that the labor movement, organized labor, what have they brought us? The 8-hour day, minimum wage, Social Security, workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, disability insurance, public education, safety standards. This is all that we have from the labor movement. So when the brothers and sisters are out there and they're picketing and they're trying to get the rights to organize, please, part of Dr. King's legacy is to support the working people. And we know, because of laws that have been passed recently, the labor is under attack right now. And when we think about how do we have a fair wage, how do we have a living wage in our country, one of the few ways, and sometimes the only way that we can do that, is when people are organized into a union so that somehow we can get that distribution of wealth down to the people that actually make the profits for everybody else. It's a sad day to think, and we've seen the occupiers and all those young people that went out there and they marched because they wanted to bring attention to everybody that the 1% has most of the wealth in the United States of America. And it is a sin when we can think that there are 400 individuals, 400 people in our country that have more wealth than 1,500,000 of us. Isn't that obscene? When you see that some of these CEOs of these Fortune 500 companies, that you see some of them, that their annual yearly salary is $16 million a year, $20 million a year, or like the guy from the NFL, $42 million a year, but you have 21 individuals that were able to amass a fortune of over $4 billion, 21 people. This is wrong. This is wrong, and this is some of the things that we have to change. You know, Dr. King, he organized the March on Washington along with Bayard Rustin. And I'm going to throw that name out there, too, because people don't always remember Bayard Rustin. He's the one that organized the first March on Washington. And one of the reasons that people don't remember him is because he happened to be gay. But he was very close to Dr. King, and he's the one that did all of that work. And then Dr. King organized the second march, the War on Poverty, right? That March on Poverty. Of course, he died. He was killed before he was able to attend that march. But during that march, he wanted to bring again attention to the fact that so many people in our country live in poverty. And he wanted to make sure that that march was multiracial. And they did a lot of work to make sure that everybody there was represented on that march. And when we think about poverty, we know that the way to get out of poverty, of course, is through education. And when we think back again to slave days, it was illegal for people to learn how to read and write. You know, we've seen those movies out there, okay, that have come out recently, and we know that. But in a way, we have some of that still going on today. We have some of that still going on today because our children of color are not getting a quality education. They are not getting a quality education. In our area, in the Central Valley, and I want to talk particularly now about my area, their Kern County, my organization, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, we just recently filed a lawsuit against our Kern High School District because, and I know this is not a surprise to many of you in the audience, the suspension rate of African-American students in the Kern High School District was over 500% against white kids. Of Latinos, it was close to 400%, okay, more than white kids, okay? Thousands of children that are being suspended and expelled from school, and this is so wrong, and we've got to stop it. And you know, we do now have a mechanism of some way that we can kind of put this into our own hands and organize, because do you remember Proposition 30 that we passed in 2012? Well, if you don't remember what that was, we actually passed a proposition here in California to tax the rich. Wasn't that good? What we did when we passed that proposition is we said that if you're a millionaire, you got to pay 3% more in state taxes. If you make $500,000 a year, you got to pay 2% more, okay? You make $250,000, you pay 1% more. Well, as a result of all of you that voted for that proposition, we got over $6 billion into our state revenue, and most of that money went to education, okay? So give yourself a hand. Now, this is the part where all of you come in, okay? All of you parents, all of you community people out there. After Proposition 30 was passed, Governor Jerry Brown and the state legislature said, you know what, we're going to give a lot of that money directly to the school districts. Instead of the state saying the way the money's going to be spent, they're going to give the money directly to every school district. But a good share of that money has got to go for low-income students, poor kids, It's got to go for foster kids, and it's got to go for English learners. And to make sure that that happens, every single school district is supposed to make sure that the parents and the students and the community are there to see how they spend that money. Okay, it's called the local control funding formula. But we know that sometimes some of our school board members don't quite do that. We got the good guys like Leeds, Chavez, of course, okay? You know, but we gotta make sure that you know about this, and you know, ask in your school district, all you parents out there, I wanna look and see what that budget looks like, right? It's called the local control accounting formula, LCAP. Okay, I wanna see what that looks like, and go to your school board meetings, find out when they're gonna be held, and say how much of that money is going to the low-income students and to the English learners and to the foster children. And unfortunately, some of the school districts, like ours over there in Kern County, oh, they decided we should use that money to put more police on the campus. More police on the campus. But what we have to fight for in order to make sure that our kids get that good education, and yeah, you know, a lot of these kids are teenagers. You know, they're rebellious. That's what you're supposed to do when you're a teenager, right? You're supposed to talk back to your teacher, okay? But you're not supposed to get suspended indefinitely when you do that. You know, this is what's wrong. And so we've got to bring in what you call positive behaviors. You know, they've called restorative justice. We can't kick kids out of school and ruin their entire lives. Because we know... Because we know what the next step is. After that, what's the next step?
Prison.
And, you know, we have the highest incarceration rate in the United States of America than any other country. When you think of India, you think of China, those are billions of people in population. How can it be that we, the richest country in the world, have more people in prison than China or India? Right, that is so wrong.
No.
And we gotta change that. We gotta change that because we know who's in prison. We know who's in those prisons. It's our kids of color. Black, brown, and poor white kids are the ones that are in prison, and we've got to change that. And the way that we change that, we've got to start with the school systems to make sure that we get rid of what we call the school-to-prison pipeline. We've got to eliminate that school-to-prison pipeline. And as Dr. King taught us, we, again, are the only ones that could change that. We are the only ones that can do it, that can make that change. So we've got to work very hard to do that. And we've got to reach out to our community. And we've got, you know, we've got to get out there and organize other people just like we did for this march today. Make sure that everybody in the community is there with us as we are fighting these major battles because we are fighting for our children. We know that the journey for civil rights is a long journey. And it's going to take all of us to be able to complete that journey. But if we don't do it out there, then it's not gonna happen. The one thing we have to learn, as Cesar Chavez, Dr. King, many of our other leaders, they have taught us, we are the only ways that can make that change. We are the ones that have to do it. And then Coretta Scott King, I wanna also make another quote about Coretta Scott King. And this is for all the women in the room, okay? She said, we will never have peace in the world until women have more power. How about that one? And as was said this morning by Congressman Jim Costa, it's so important that everybody vote. You know, we have to have a revolution in our country. We have to have a revolution in our country, but it can be a nonviolent revolution, and I want to call it an electoral revolution. An electoral revolution, we do it by voting. And when we see what is our Congress doing right now, you know, we just got this Congress elected. We know that our poor President Obama, you know, they have battered him and battered him. They say, you know, if President Obama walked on water, they would say, the man can't swim. Because no matter what he does, you know, no matter what he does, somehow they're going to criticize him. And it's kind of interesting because a lot of the people just got elected to Congress now, they're taking credit for all of the work that Obama did before they got there. Okay? And so what are they doing? Some of the first acts that they're doing, of course, in Congress, number one, they want to take the money away from Planned Parenthood, you know, so that women and men will have a place to go to get any information on reproductive the reproductive choices. They want to take away immigrant rights that Obama has just made this great executive action that people who have children here can stay in the country and can actually can have work permits so they don't have to worry about deportation. They want to take away the executive action that President Obama did for the young kids, kids that were born that were not born here, but that so they can go to school and they get their work permits. So all of the good things that President Obama is doing, they're going to try to take it away. Well, we know that President Obama's going to be there, and he's going to be the goalie, right? He's going to stop all of these bad laws from becoming, you know, from becoming laws in our country. So we have to, you know, keep informed. We've got to stay tuned in what's going on, because we really can't fight the ignorance. And this is what it is. All of this prejudice that's out there, this bigotry that's out there, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia, you know, people that say there is no global warming, it's just plain ignorance, right? That's all that it is. And in order to combat that ignorance, then we've got to become the messengers. We've got to become the messengers. We've got to go out there and we've got to talk not only to our families, to our peers, to our neighbors, and sometimes they don't agree with us. Sometimes they don't agree with us, but we just got to keep on talking to them and have the patience so that we can convert people and make sure that they also become involved. So we're not just the only ones. The people that are here, we might say that we are the converted. Everybody that is here is probably an activist in some shape or form. But it's not enough for us. We've got to get out there and make sure that the other people, and sometimes they say, oh, I don't want to vote. Voting doesn't matter. You've got to instruct them and tell them it is important for you to vote. It's important for you to get involved because this is the only way that we can win. This is the only way that we can win. And we all have to stay involved in order to make it happen. So, and you know, there is a way to end racism. And I'm going to tell you what it is. And I'm sure many of you, like myself, I remember when I was growing up, like many of you, the kind of racism that we face on the street, you know, from the law enforcement, from everybody else, in our schools. And I always thought, well, by the time that I'm a mother, by the time that I'm a grandmother, by the time that I'm a great-grandmother, this racism will end. Well, like many of you, we see that it hasn't. And like Al Sharpton says, they traded the hoods for suits, right? They traded the hoods for suits. So we know it's still pervasive, except that it's institutionalized. And when I talk about the incarceration, when I talk about the lack of quality of education, that means that the racism in our society has become institutionalized. And we have to understand that that's the way it is. And again, the only way that we can get rid of it is to make sure that we get on those boards, that we get on the school boards, that we get on the city councils, that we get our people to run for Congress. And we know that the only way you know, it takes a lot of money to run for Congress in these days and to run for the Senate. But if you've got the people, you got the people organized, then that's the only way that we can combat the money. That means that we just got to get out there like Dr. King did, like Cesar Chavez did. We got to just get out there and organize, organize, organize. And to remove the ignorance, and I love this, I'm going to say this, because we believe in science, right? We believe in science, okay? So I'm going to ask you all the question. Where did our human race begin?
Africa.
Our human race began in Africa, right? And we only have one human race. We don't have a lot of human races. We got a lot of nationalities. We have a lot of different cultures, a lot of different ethnic groups, but we only have one human race. And yes, our human race began in Africa, went across the planet, went to Asia. People got a little bit lighter in skin, you know, came down through the Bering Strait to the Americas. And then one of our tribes got lost. They went way up north where it's very, very cold, and they lost their color. So now they have to go to the tanning salon or to the beach to get their color back. So we can say to the White Citizens Council, to the KKK, to some of those in the Tea Party, you know who they are, and they know who they are, okay? And we can say to them, get over it, you're Africans. So, if we can remember that we are all Africans of different shades and colors, okay? We are all Africans of different shades and colors. Then we are all one human family. We're all one human family, and we are supposed to protect each other and defend each other and support each other. And especially, we need to do it for our children. But again, it's not going to happen unless we do it all together. So, I'm going to share a word from South Africa with you. The word is Wozani. It's a Zulu word. Wozani. And this means we, the people of Fresno, are coming together. We are coming together to fight for justice. We, the people of Fresno, are coming together to fight for justice. So I'm going to say the word Wozani. I'll say 1, 2, 3, and I want all of you to shout it at the top of your lungs, okay? Wozani.
Wozani.
Okay, wait for me. Wait for me. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Wozani. Let's do that one more time, but shout it out really, really loud. 1, 2, 3. Wozani. Yes, we are all one family, and we're going to keep marching. We're going to keep singing. We're going to keep fighting. We'll even keep dancing, right? To make our life strong, okay? And we're going to do this, and we're going to remember Dr. King, we're going to organize, and yes, we will make a better world for all of our children. And how do we do that? What do we say? Yes, we can. But then we say, si se puede. But before we do that, I'm going to go back to what I did this morning to remember that if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to do this for us. We've got to get out there. We've got to do the work. So I'm going to ask you the question again. I'm going to ask you the question. Who's got the power?
We have the power.
Okay. Some people didn't sound like they were very sure about that. So we're going to do it one more time. But I want you to shout that out very loud. Remember, the power is in each and every one of us. We may not have the money. Okay. We may not have titles, whatever. But we have the power in each and every one of our persons, okay? Each one of us. So shout it out very loud. We've got the power. Say it really loud, okay? Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
People power.
Okay, that's people power. One more time. Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
People power.
Are we going to go out? Are we going to work hard? Are we going to end the racism, the homophobia, the sexism? If we're going to do it, and we're going to work for peace for Coretta Scott King and for Dr. King. Okay, I'm going to go out here to the side, and we're all going to put our hands up together, and we're going to do a big, organized clap, because we can't do it by ourselves, and we've got to do it through nonviolence, the way Dr. King asked us to, and Sessa, and Mahatma Gandhi, okay? So I'm going to step over to the side. We're all going to do a unified clap. Si se puede. Okay, let's go.